Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the So You Think You Can Dance for Hap Up for Episode 3, the New York City Auditions. I am your host. My name is Lita Brillman. I am joined, as always, by the fabulous Kelly Bedard. Kelly, how are you?
I'm so good, Lita. How are you?
I am good. I have had quite an evening. I got to go out to the restaurant that I work at with my mom, have a couple drinks, have a great dinner. And so now I'm all relaxed in podcasting mode to talk about So You Think You Can Dance.
That's the exact way to enjoy So You Think You Can Dance.
I think that that's the only way to enjoy it.
Couple sangrias in, just it's perfect. That's the only way you could possibly be prepared for the bigger cheese.
For the bigger cheese, you need some sangria.
Oh, yeah. For
sure. It pairs well, I've heard.
My tea was not enough. I gotta say, I was underprepared for what was ahead of me at the New York audition.
Yeah, this was quite an episode. I felt like this was more dynamic than either of the LA qualifiers. There was like a lot of difference in the different auditions. I think in LA, we got a lot of like really, really fabulous auditions with a couple of like, here's the let's laugh at this person. But this was kind of all over the place. We had people who were really bad, really good, and then a lot of in the middle.
Yeah.
Which I think is good. I think that makes for a more engaging hour of television.
Yeah. I also think that we got some really, really incredible dancers in this episode. Like some of those women that are like what they, I think it was Mary, somebody said in the judging panel that like a lot of the women come out and they are really similar. They're all excellent technicians.
Oh, yes. Nigel was talking about this, actually.
Oh, Nigel. And they do blend together. And I always feel this way about the contemporary women. Like they're, it's so hard to tell them apart a lot of the time. And I thought we got some really the sort of dancers this year that make you remember who they are without having to tell you their story, which I really liked.
Yes, definitely. And some good editing deciding who we need to show the whole audition and who we just need to show a little clip of.
Yeah, we got a lot more of those, like, they weren't really montages, but they were almost like mini packages. Like we got their name, we got their audition, we got some judges' comments, but we didn't have to spend like 10 minutes. I felt like in the last episodes we've had like we've only seen four people because we've had to spend 10 minutes on each person. And here we got a lot more of the here. We'll let you get to know somebody, but just enough to get to know them. And then we're going to move on. So we didn't have as definitive of this is definitely someone who's going to be in the top 20. Otherwise, why are we wasting so much time on them?
Yeah, some better choices to make for a better flow, I think, overall. Nothing really notable from the little opener that we had, just like New York, you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
And we got a montage about how inspiring and important So You Think You Can Dance is.
Yes. Remember, we're the best dance show on TV.
I mean, they are the best dance show on TV, so yeah, we should be a little more confident about it.
Vanessa and Mary are kind of both in like their Addams Family best. I think it must have been pretty cold in New York. They're both extremely covered.
Yeah, I thought Vanessa's outfit was interesting, though. It was cute in like a bold way, I guess.
Yeah, she had like a trench coat on, but also thigh high boots.
Mary's really into Snapchat now.
Is that what she was doing with Nigel?
I don't know if it was Snapchat, but she was like filming a video,
like vlogging,
of her. And then when she was walking out her judge's intro, she's carrying her phone out in front of her. Like everything is being documented.
What a millennial that
she's
Mary
such
Murphy.
A millennial.
Yeah, that's what I'm always saying about her. She's so young. She keeps that panel young.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she's always what are the millennial things we learned from Survivor?
They always she must speak have their gotten mind. A participation trophy for
yeah,
being there.
Lots of teamwork. They're always working on a team. Very open and communicative.
Yeah,
good.
That's what I think about Mary Murphy.
Absolutely.
So we get started with Kaylee Impavido-Millis. She is 18 years old from Massachusetts, and she says she chose the name Impavido because it's Italian for less fear, which is nice. But her name is actually Kaylee. I'm not sure which we're supposed to call her because the show kind of had like Kaylee, but then Impavido in quotes. So I don't actually know.
I'm a big believer in you call people what they say they are called.
Yeah.
Sure. If she says her name's Impavido and Nigel had to pull her birth name out of her, so she clearly wants to be Impavido, I say you get to be whoever you say you are. And she's going to be Impavido. And also, for the record, like how they wrote her name with Impavido in quotation marks is the same way that they write Stephen Twitch Boss. And we definitely call him Twitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that because they did that with like Fiction too, and I don't even know his
actual name. Oh, yeah, I have no idea what Fiction's name is.
Yeah.
I just like that Twitch's last name is Boss.
Yeah, it's nice. It's fitting. Yeah, well, I'm on board. I am someone who changed my name in my life.
Really?
So, yeah, Lita is not my real name. Secrets revealed.
Huh.
It is a nickname. So I believe in that as well. But at any rate, her package is all about how she played sports her whole life and her parents supported that. But then she decided that she wanted to dance, but her parents said, you have to support that yourself. So she has been working since she was 12 to financially support her dancing.
Yeah. So this was sort of interesting because, first of all, at the end of her audition, she made a whole thing about, I couldn't have gotten here without my parents, which made me think that maybe she was like, oh, they're going to see that. They're going to not like that. I just sort of took credit for they weren't supportive. But I was wondering about this because was dance just a lot more expensive than sports, or did they actually not want her to dance and were willing to pay for sports but not willing to pay for dance?
I think it's probably the former. I would say that because most schools, public schools, have sports teams that you don't need to pay for, it's right. probably easier to be a part of that. I really am not sure what the story was, but I think she kind of framed it like this was a good thing for me to have to work anyway.
Yeah, no, I think, and it was a good story and all that kind of stuff. I just thought it was kind of funny that she was like, oh, and my parents, I couldn't have gotten here without my parents. Yeah. I didn't say that. Did I say that? I mean, I wanted to be very clear.
Yeah. I absolutely love the way that she moves.
Oh, yeah, she's an amazing dancer.
Yeah, she does a couple things that are kind of dance pet peeves of mine, where she does like some dance miming where it's like the song says no, so she does like a no gesture and things like that. But she's also 18. So I don't know who choreographed this. The fact that there isn't the most mature movement I've ever seen is like forgivable. And I mean, other than that, like this is a fantastic quality of movement. She has like this get up from the center split at the beginning that actually made my jaw drop. So I was very into this.
Yeah, I think she's amazing. I think she's going to really rock the competition. She had a lot of moves in there that to me suggest she's going to be really versatile. She's great. I really liked her a lot. I liked that Nigel was like, you got a little funk in ya, and he sort of grooved, which was amusing to me.
Yeah, because she did a couple little like hip hop things in the middle of this.
She's groovy. I also love anytime someone comes out. Oh, spoiler alert, she gets sent through to the next round, we're calling it now.
Yeah, standing ovation.
Yeah, and I love anytime someone comes bursting through the doors at the end and with their ticket and they just collapse on the ground because they have too much emotion. I just love it. I think it's so funny.
Yeah, and she was the one who inspired the Nigel speech that you talked about how we get all these girls that are exactly the same who can. He says that they can all turn on a sixpence, which is not how I would describe that. But sure, yeah, they can all turn on a sixpence, but they don't have that kind of individuality and unique factor. But she brings that to the competition, so that's good.
I wonder if that was just because it's clearly like turn on a dime is an expression.
Right.
He's just, remember, I'm British.
Yeah. Important. He doesn't want people to forget.
It's important that you know.
It's important. He's British. He's a PhD.
PhD.
All these things.
We got another one of those video things, but like the movie montage.
What is happening here?
This time, was he?
This was not his film.
he farmed out this assignment to one of his underlings.
He's a great delegator, that Nigel Lithgow.
Oh, God.
So next we have Anna Sanchez. She's 23 and she's from Colombia. And she is 4'11", but she says when she dances, she feels like she's 6 feet tall. Very nice.
I didn't like her very much.
Oh, my.
I thought this routine was really tricky and some of the tricks were cool, but I thought it was messy. I don't think she's going to make it through Hollywood Week or whatever we're calling it. And yeah, I also don't like when people dance with their dance teachers. I think it's creepy.
Yeah, so she did dance with her dance teacher and they ask him, why aren't you competing? And he says, I'm 31.
And this comes up twice in this episode, this idea of the age limit. How do you feel about the age limit? Because I don't think it's fair. I think if someone can get through and like at 31, if they're a good enough dancer and they have the youthful spirit or whatever that the show feels that they'd be appropriate for the show, I think it's pretty arbitrary to say you can't do it after you're 31.
Yeah. So I actually did want to talk about this because it's something that I've never thought about before. Like ever. I don't think I've ever really considered the age limit on this. I have certainly with American Idol, because that really doesn't make sense to me. Because, like, I guess the premise is that you're trying
to want them and there's no talent, like, there's no practical reason. Like, you can be as great a singer at 60 as you can at 22, and the show doesn't want a 60 year old. So they put in the age limit as their excuse, basically. To keep young,
yeah,
and hot
they
people.
Want young, hot people who
and
are going to have like
31-year-old dancer is still going to be young and hot. Like they're a dancer, yeah. And anyone who's not young and hot isn't going to be able to keep like they're not going to be able to execute at the level they need to, so that they can cut them for legit reasons that aren't age.
I don't know why it's 30, but I guess I get that. Like, there's got to be a cut. Does there have to be a cutoff somewhere? Do you think there should be a cutoff anywhere and that it's just too low now?
No, I don't think there should be a cutoff anywhere specifically for dance. I get it for singing because there is no, but dancer's going to be a natural age where people are just going to not do it anymore. They won't have the stamina to keep up. They won't like whatever, right? But how old, like all these all-stars at this point, like how old's Anya at this point? Like, she's over 30.
I have no idea. Yeah.
I think. I'm sorry, Anya, if that's not true. But, like, except I'm not, because it doesn't matter if you're over 30. Yeah. Like, she's still incredibly hot. She's still an incredible dancer. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. It feels kind of unfair because you can, if you can still do it, I think you should get to still do it, at least on this show where there is going to be a reasonable cutoff age from a practical point of view.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I guess they want, it is the same network as American Idol. It kind of follows that formula. I guess their MO is that they want to launch the careers of young, attractive people, amateurs who don't have experience or whatever.
But imagine if this 29-year-old amazing tap dancer didn't make it. Like, what if he fell or something, or he twisted his ankle and he said they did that thing where they're like, come back next year, and he literally can't come back next year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something that I don't remember ever thinking about before. Maybe I have, but it really did play a factor in this episode.
Yeah, it came up twice. It was weird. Anyway, because I almost had a moment where I was like, is Nigel going to waive it for this guy? Because he clearly liked, like, for him to go out of his way to compliment the partner who wasn't competing, who was also the man. So, like, for Nigel to mention the guy in a ballroom pair is already a pretty big deal.
Yeah, well, that's because he was better.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, for him to be good enough that Nigel's going to go out of his way to mention him and to ask him why he's not competing, I almost had a moment of, like, he's the executive producer. He can waive the rule if he wants to. But he didn't.
Yeah.
But I thought that would have been cool.
Yeah, could have been a slippery slope.
Yeah. Oh, it wouldn't have been fair, but it would have been cool.
Yeah. So I am with you on this. So they do the Colombian salsa, which she claims is faster than the regular salsa and has more flavor and passion, which I'm not sure is a technical term, is a technical difference. But, you know, what do I know? I know nothing about Colombian salsa.
Wait, passion isn't a move?
Yeah, I don't think that that's a technical disparity between two different types of salsa.
It's not in, as Val Shmerkovsky would say, the salsa syllabus.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, he pulled out the salsa syllabus to argue with Len earlier this year.
Salsa syllabus. I don't know about that. This seemed like a not super educated difference between the two types of salsa, but it was fine. I agree with you that it was messy. She had issues specifically like completing movements. Like she wasn't following all the way through her arms and her hands before she would go on to the next movement. And it felt just a little rushed, but she does have the performance quality. I think she really had it in her face and through her whole body. It was fun. The lifts were great, but it did feel very heavily reliant on lifts. I agree with you.
Yeah, it was. The tricks were fantastic, but the dancing wasn't that good. And let's stay focused, shall we, on the dancing. She's not going to make it through Hollywood Week.
Yeah, whatever that may mean.
Yeah.
Make it through the Academy.
She's going to hit the Travis wall.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. If she doesn't hit one of the wall, like usually hip hop's first because it's theoretically the quote unquote easiest, which is a little not fair to say.
Yeah. Suspect.
Yeah. But I think she gets cut like during the nappy tabs routine.
Yeah. I will co-sign that. Yep. All right. So next we have someone who I will just say up front that I was absolutely completely taken with.
Oh my
who
God. Is He's the greatest.
Okay, great. We're on the same page.
So scared. You're like, don't criticize her.
I don't want to be like, this was the best answer ever. And then have you be like, it's fine.
But
it's
that would be fine because I feel like you have so much more cred than I do with the dancing. I'm like, doesn't matter.
Oh, I don't know. This was Kawani Iwaski, and she is 19. She's from Florida, and she moved from Japan when she was 2. And both her parents are sushi chefs, but she had kind of a hard time embracing her Japanese culture because she had an experience, which is very common Asian American experience in parts of the U.S., which is that she was the only Asian American person around her. She would throw away her lunches because they were weird. And she kind of rejected this culture, but dance to her was a form of communication because she couldn't speak English. So it was kind of served as her second language, but now she loves and accepts her heritage. And I absolutely loved this story. I know it's a little cookie cutter American dream, but this hit me in the feels, as the kids say.
Okay, first of all, I'm spending a lot of time thinking about the caliber of lunches she must have thrown out. Like, her parents are sushi chefs. Like, I can't. Oh my God. That was probably like fresh sashimi.
Not the point, Kelly.
I know, but like, I'm mad at her. Because how dare she?
You're mad at her former 6-year-old self.
Yes. My mom used to give me like Wonder Bread sandwiches. Gross. No. anyway, I love her. She's so beautiful and so eloquent and so just like, I actually thought it was really funny that she was like, dance is my communication because words wouldn't matter. And I just thought she was like the best spoken person we saw all episode.
Yeah.
She had all these like beautiful metaphors and she was able to like perfectly sum up exactly what dance meant to her. Loved her. Amazing. She's such an expressive dancer. I just,
yes,
top 20 contender. God, she's the best.
Yeah. Yes. I also definitely commented on her acting. Her mom is crying while she's dancing. This whole thing was just so wonderful and beautiful. And she says before she starts, she says that she's here to live her dream. And for a lot of people, they would say that dream is to be a successful dancer or what have you. But she says, I'm here to live my dream, which is to inspire as many people as I can, which is beautiful. And it takes me back because we haven't talked about the old seasons of So You Think You Can Dance yet on this podcast.
Oh, I remember Danny Tidwell, Bleeding Love. Two separate.
Pubs. Oh, yes. Just to hit all of our points. Yes, Katie. She's a person. but it reminds me of in season one, Melody was my favorite. She ended up being the runner up. And I remember her giving a little speech. It might have been at the finale or maybe one of her packages close to it, where she says, if I can just inspire one little girl to dance, then this all would have been worth it. And that's something that I have really carried with me like my whole life is just like, I feel like any profession that I go into, if I can just like inspire one little girl to like follow what she loves or do what I do or whatever, then it all will have been worth it. So this dream of inspiring people, I think, connects with me a lot.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that about Melody. Yeah, that's so true, especially on a show like this. Like, there are literally people who started dance. I mean, not to reiterate Kat's montage where she's just like, it's the most important, inspirational show in the world. But, like, it literally is. There are people who started dancing because of this show. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. Like, I was at Stratford Festival a couple weeks ago, and there was all these teenagers sitting in front of me on this field trip, and they were talking about how cute Benvolio was, and I was like, this is so cool, like, listening to them, like, really invest for the first time, like, being there for that moment where when someone, like, connects to an art form that they hadn't really considered before. And this show absolutely did that for tons and tons of kids who are now dancers and are now auditioning for the show. It's so cool.
Yeah, completely. This is just such a huge part of people's lives. So I love when people accept that role of being a role model. I think sometimes it's foisted on people and that's not great. But when people pursue that, that is great for me. And she's just like an incredible dancer. I cannot state this enough.
Oh, yeah, loved her.
Physical gasping occurred. Mary and Vanessa are both like, they're not crying, but you could like see that their eyes are shining.
Yeah. This was actually a note I had during the Anna segment more than the other segment. But do you think that maybe Vanessa was on uppers in this episode? She was like, had more energy. She kept retelling the story of the routine where she'd be like, and then he did this and you were like, and I was like, what is happening right now?
I think that is one theory. I think also maybe Vanessa is just not super good at this yet. And so when Nigel goes to her first and is like, what did you think about the routine? Instead of offering an opinion on it, she offers a recap. Because as we know, people who don't know anything about what they're talking about just recap episodes of So You Think You Can Dance, right?
Hey!
That's both of us.
I'm so insulted right now.
That's what we do. We're not real dance people, so we just pretend to know what we're talking about and recap episodes of it.
Lita is literally a real dance person. Don't believe her. But that is a thing in theatrical criticism. There's always that one reviewer who, if they didn't get the show, they just tell you what they think the show was about and they don't assess it in any way. Because they're like, I didn't really understand. I like fell asleep partway through. So they just recap it. It is a way of like sidestepping any sort of actual criticism.
Yeah. And I think that's what happened.
What you're doing.
That's not what we are doing. It's just what Vanessa is doing. And I mean, we see later, Nigel is like, what do you think about what should they do? Like, should you send them to the academy or whatever? And she's just like, I don't know. Like, she's not able to do the one thing that she is required to do.
But you know, so what? I think that actually did. I actually thought that was not really very fair, because he had not really given her any indication where he was thinking of sending this person. And she is new. This is literally, I think, her second day, because she wore the same outfit for all of L.A.
Yeah.
And like, so she doesn't know some of the logistics of like, how many people can we send to L.A. and like, how, like, am I supposed to send them through? And she really didn't want to be the person who was like, yeah, go through. And then they both vote no. So,
yeah, I mean, but also,
like, how embarrassing is that when you're like, I want to send them to the academy. And then Nigel's like, I actually think choreography would probably be a better fit.
Well, that was so common on American Idol, though.
Really?
Like, I feel like, Paula would always say yes. And the other two would say no.
But Paula was there from the beginning. Like, I don't know. I just feel like less.
I understand that's
Paula,
different. I guess. And I don't know that it's necessarily Vanessa's fault. I'm just saying, I don't know that she's not qualified for it. I'm just saying she's not confident enough yet. And that is not necessarily her fault. I just think she needs more time. And I hope that she can in future seasons, should she return, because we have a really short audition circuit this year. I would hope that she can have the confidence to like voice her own opinion and not just defer to Nigel.
Yes, I totally agree, especially when it comes to voicing her opinion about the routine. It's a little trickier, the like making the decision whether or not to send them through by herself. But the actual like, say what you think about it, whether or not, no matter what you think the other person thought. on the judging panel. I think that's like a very important, I think that's an important life lesson in general that we can take from saying you think you can dance is yeah. like if you're at the movies with someone, no matter how much the other person knows about movies, when you leave and they ask you what you thought, you just tell them. You don't worry what they thought or how much more they know about movies than you. Just tell them your thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, it's an important thing to do as a person. And I do think it's an experience thing and she should get better, but I would like her to tone down the energy like the tiniest bit, because she was bananas today.
Yeah.
just so expressive and not in the beautiful dancing way.
Yes. Well, obviously everyone loves it. And she goes straight through to Vegas. Kwani, not Vanessa. I mean, not Vegas. We know
wherever
we're going.
It's in LA. We definitively declared this in this segment that it is definitively in LA, which is probably why they renamed it, because they're like, why are we renting space in Vegas when we can just do it in LA where we have to?
Yes. So she goes straight through. I have high hopes for her. I would love to see more of her.
Oh, yeah. Top 20, unless something goes very wrong.
Yeah. Well, something that can go very wrong is that apparently we don't have a top 20 anymore.
Oh.
This is, but I have read that there is some sort of new format that happened where I'm just talking like, this is so sad. We're experts on everything except the season that matters, apparently, where they changed on all the rules last season. I guess there's like a new format where it's like 10, but with an all-star partner. And they've like, that's that the
before.
Top 20.
They had done that with like adults before. But last season, they totally changed the format. Like, it was sort of like The Voice where they had teams.
Yeah.
I don't think they're staying with that. I think they're going back to previous things. And in season 7? I think it was the Kent and Alex and Lauren season. Mm-hmm. They did, I believe it was a top 10 and everybody had all-star partners. And then they only eliminated one person every week. But then it got down. One, it got down in numbers so fast. And two, they got to a point really quickly where there was only one woman left and it was weird. So I think then from there, they started doing top 20 where they were partners with each other for the top 10. And then after that, they started incorporating the all-stars where from the top 10 down, the all-stars would dance. They'd do an all-star dance and a dance with each other every week.
Yeah.
So that you got sort of like the best of both worlds. So I'm hoping I felt like when they introduced that format, that was them problem solving a bunch of previous format ideas and putting them together to create this sort of perfect format. So I'm hoping that that's what we go back to after our weird voice-like experiment with the children.
With the children, yeah.
Don't experiment with the children.
Good life advice. Yeah, I don't really know what's going on. I feel like I'm just going to continue to assess their top 20 potential.
Yeah,
that's the safest
thing to do.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I say I feel like I see them going far. See them in the top 20, whatever. That's the expression
finals.
We're using.
They'll be in the finals, but by finals, we don't mean like top four finals. We mean like when the show starts and you get to
main
vote.
Stage. Yeah.
Yeah. Main stage. There we go. We'll call it the main stage.
Sure. I'm sure I'll remember to do that. Definitely.
We'll call it whatever.
So we get a little montage of some different kinds of hip hop. We have Shaquille Worsley, Kyle Bennett Jr., and Alex Diaz. They all have very different styles of hip hop. And that's fun. And Kat narrates it.
Kat says she loves fuckness, which she totally clearly does.
Yeah. Is Lil C still with the show?
That's kind of what I said. I said, where is Lil C these days? I think
they. Yeah, what's he up to?
I got tired of him.
His vocabulary was so extensive, though.
It was, and we were all very impressed for a while until we started trying to figure out when you put all those words together into a sentence, what they actually meant, and we realized we had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, it just kind of became his gimmick.
Yeah.
Didn't really mean anything.
So he appears to be gone, although if we have a Crumper on the show, I wonder if he would sort of make a reappearance.
I don't know. Bring back Shane Sparks.
Shane Sparks, whoa.
He blast from the past.
Has he been on the show since? Because like Tabitha Napoleon just sort of took over, right?
Yeah, well, he did Sexy Love.
What was Sexy Love?
the Umbrella Dance with Ivan and Allison.
Oh, the original.
That was Shane Sparks.
Well, he was from the beginning. But then at what I'm saying about hip hop is that, like, after Tabitha and Napoleon came in, have we had basically anybody?
I don't even know. I was going to say Wade Robson, but that's not hip hop.
No, definitely not. Although he's
not at all.
Have we had Luther Brown on the American one? Because he was the Canadian hip hop guy, and he was fantastic.
I don't even know who that is. I feel like they're just trying to make Nappy Tabs, like, really a thing.
Yeah, and Nappy Tabs did in recent seasons try and separate. There's, like, you can be assigned lyrical hip hop, or you can be assigned, like, a hard hitting hip hop, and they're trying to differentiate the two, so that, because there was definitely a phase of the show when hip hop became, like, just contemporary. So they are in their pretend, when they pretend to pull things out of a hat, but they're actually just producers telling them what to do. Those are two separate genres now, but I do think most of them are still done by Tabitha and Napoleon, which I don't think they should do. I think they should stick to their lyrical hip hop sort of, that's where they do the best work. Although there is the Alex and Twitch routine is not lyrical, and it's
get out of your mind. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I think it'd be cool to have, like, a really good, like, a Showtime or Luther Brown or, like, somebody really intense with, like, actual cred doing the sort of harder hip hop stuff. If only to test the contemporary dancers a bit more and push them harder, because at the moment it feels like if you're a trained contemporary dancer who's taken some hip hop classes, you can get through the hip hop routines pretty easily.
Yeah.
And it's such an advantage to the contemporary dancers and a disadvantage to the street dancers who don't have that edge when it comes to contemporary. So I think it would even out the playing field a bit more if some of the hip hop were a little tougher.
Yeah. Who did I know people love when we get into super detailed old routines, but
you know what? They haven't complained to
no
me.
No one's
yet.
Complained yet.
Yeah. I like the old routine stuff.
I was gonna ask who choreographed the one that Lauren Froderman and Twitch did, the My Chick Bad routine. Oh. Remember that?
I don't know. I'm gonna Google it. You talk for a second.
Okay. Yeah. So I just feel like that was a more hard hitting one that was maybe potentially before the Nappy Tabs era, but after, like, Shane Sparks and Lil C. So I'm not really sure. That might have been Lil C. But anyway, yes, Kat loves the Buckness, so we do this montage of hip hop styles, and then we get a couple of Brooklyn dancers who are hip hop performers who don't get montaged. We have Joseph Classic Corella and Hewer Havoc Marche Jr. And they are a hip hop duo, and their style is called flexing, which I don't know anything about, but it's extremely lovely. And there's elements of comical physical comedy as well as animating and lyrical. And I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I don't know what you thought.
First of all, it looks like it was Nappy Tabs based, but I also am not Googling this correctly, so I'm not sure. Classic and Havoc. First of all, Brooklyn does not need your shout out. They did it twice, and, like, Brooklyn's fine. Leave Brooklyn alone. You only do Brooklyn that if you're okay. from somewhere that might need a shout out. Brooklyn's not that place. Second, their description of what flexing is made me laugh a lot,
because it was seven distinct elements.
Well, and they, what they did was define a term by just naming a bunch of other terms that also need defining. Like, they're like, it's, and they were all just, like, verbs. They're like, it's gliding and grooving and bone breaking, and in my notes I'm like, and twerking and skydiving and Netflix and chilling, like, just verbs.
Oh my,
it's just verbs.
Hey, those are gerunds. It's a specific type of verb.
Okay. Fine, they're gerunds, but they're verbs. I was like, you can't. Okay, we know what bone breaking is, but, like, grooving and gliding and blibbity doobity ding, like, just, that's not any more clear than the original term, which was flexing.
Yeah, I know gliding. I don't know what grooving exactly entails.
I actually don't know that grooving is one of them. I just wrote that down in my long list of verbs or gerunds. Yep, sorry.
There were 7 of them.
I don't know. I thought this was pretty. I gotta say, this was my, like, the dresses blue and black moment of the day, where I had absolutely no idea what everyone was talking about and thought everyone was lying. Because, like, this was fine. I don't know why this was such a big deal.
Everyone was lying. Like, it's so harsh.
Like, you know what I mean? When you're looking at something and everyone loves it. Like how I felt about La La Land, where everyone's just like, it was so moving. And I was like, it was not. What? What are you talking about?
Well, listen, everyone's come to your team now on La La Land, I think.
Yeah, they just eventually came to their senses. But, like, you know what I mean? If everyone's on one page and you completely don't see it, it almost starts to feel like people are playing a practical joke on you.
Yeah, I understand that. I feel like I felt like I was being duped when, like, Avatar made a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And it was Avatar. The only time. And it's another thing that I think people have come around on and realized, like, it wasn't anything. But it's the only time I've ever fallen asleep in a movie theater in my entire life.
Well, okay. I can actually explain Avatar very easily. I don't think very many people liked Avatar. Uh-huh. But that doesn't matter because 2 things. One, everybody felt the need to see Avatar because it was marketed as an event that you couldn't pass up.
Okay.
Like a technological event. So everyone went to see it. And if everyone went to go see it once and everybody paid to see it in 3D, which was the whole thing.
Oh, I didn't. Maybe that's why I fell asleep.
Right? Yeah. No. So everybody went and everybody went to see it in 3D because that was the whole technological innovation. And so that those numbers add up to more than a really good movie where a whole bunch of people see it twice or 3 times. That's because it's an actually good movie. Basically, nobody saw Avatar twice, but everybody saw it once and everybody paid the extra money to see it in 3D, which is why it will never be beaten in the box office, because now 3D is commonplace. So its competition has gone up. But at the time and because people are over the technology and don't feel the need anymore.
Wow.
There you go.
I always learn so much when I talk to you, Kelly.
This is the step dancing lecture of this week.
Why Avatar made so much money.
Yes. Easy. Any other questions?
My only question is, what did you please elaborate on why you did not like this?
I don't know. It's not like I didn't dislike it. There was nothing wrong with this routine. It wasn't bad in any way, like Anna's stupid routine was. This was just fine. Like, it was fine. I don't know why everyone was freaking out. And I even rewound and watched it again because I thought, like, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. And then I, at the end of that, I was like, no, never doubt yourself again, Kelly.
You are always right.
Well, that's not true. But in this particular case where I felt it was meh, or not even meh, but fine, I was right.
Yeah. Well, listen, I wouldn't say that it was more than lovely, which is how I described it in my notes. It was nice. I don't know that it warranted the standing O, although I feel like this episode really cheapened the standing ovation.
Oh, for sure.
Kind of all over the place.
It was like they all were making theater patrons all of a sudden.
Is that a thing in Canada?
Oh my God. It's such a thing that the critics are so grumpy about it that they all refuse to stand up. And then that becomes a thing where they're just, yeah. It's basically every single performance. There's a standing ovation because people are so nice. They just want to encourage the artist.
Yeah. Well, so this was weird because they give a standing ovation, which to me should mean, oh, you're going straight to the Academy, but it doesn't. Like, they do end up going to the Academy, but there's kind of an argument about it. This is where Vanessa can't decide where she wants to send them, and they almost give us like a cliffhanger where like they go out to the lobby and without telling us how they did, and then they come out with their tickets and it's this big moment. Nigel compliments how artistic this was. I really think that this is maybe the judges in the show making an effort to appreciate more unconventional styles of dance or something like that. I thought that this was nice. I would have sent them to choreography personally, just because I really did enjoy the routine, but I don't know how they're going to do in the Academy.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. I don't think they're going to make it very far, although you never know. But I think that the whole argument slash cliffhanger thing was entirely editing. I think that Vanessa just didn't want to be the first person to say it because she wasn't super sure about her opinion. But I think they were always going to send them straight through.
Yeah.
But I agree that they maybe shouldn't have. But at the same time, is that us being hypocritical about the whole lecture we did last week or the week before about hip hop dancers and tap dancers and people like that getting sent through straight away in the way that contemporary dancers are?
I just felt like they didn't show a ton of technique, and that doesn't mean that I liked it any less than more conventional hip hop routines. It just means that I'm not sure that they demonstrated the ability to pick up the technique. I agree that it was really artistic, and that's what I liked about it.
Was it though?
I actually think it was. I felt like they did a blend of different things that I haven't seen a ton. I felt like it was bold and it was different. I like the physical comedy when it's executed well. I think it can go horribly wrong, but I felt like this was fine. I felt like they kept the belly tricks in check, where they did more of the crazy stuff after, where they were just like kind of showing to the judges what they could do rather than in the actual routine. And this is also a group that, or a group, a duo that I feel like can really benefit from, like, even if they don't do well in the competition, I feel like their careers can really benefit just from having their names out there. Like, they can do better in like street performing or whatever this translates to. And they can become kind of like a more successful duo just having this minimal exposure, which I don't feel like works for every style of dance.
That's very true. And that's maybe an argument for sending them straight through when they might not have made it through choreography. But that's still going to be true, even if they get cut in the first round of Hollywood.
Yeah. I feel like they can just kind of promote their own brand through this in a way that if you're just like a competition contemporary dancer, like, you're not going to be able to do much with that outside of the competition circuit.
Very good point. They were fine.
Yeah. Okay. Kelly has spoken.
They're nice. They seem like nice boys.
Like, Classic and Havoc. Nice boys.
Nice boys.
So next we have Chaz Wolcott, a 29-year-old tapper from Ohio. And I am hoping that you change your tune about Chaz.
What? No, I don't need to change my tune about Chaz. Chaz is.
I mean, change your tune from this most recent.
Yes. Chaz is wonderful. First of all, yes. Chaz is a delight of a person. He's like a smiley, like a ray of sunshine person. And I love those.
Yes. I have written that this is someone that I would be friends with.
Yes. He's delightful. I also just want to talk a little bit about his resume. Because first of all, he toured in Cats. He was Mr. Mistopheles. And it makes me laugh a lot because, one, Mr. Mistopheles is known as like the dancer role in Cats because he doesn't sing his own song. He's the only one who like Rum Tum Tugger sings his song, so he doesn't have to sing. So they always hire a really good dance, like a really good dancer. And when it was on Broadway recently, Mr. Mistopheles was none other than Ricky Ubeda. So
no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right. That's yes. That's the legacy of one Mr. Mistopheles, the original Conjuring Cat.
Have you seen Cats?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. So I haven't. I am a huge musical theater geek. I have not seen Cats. Is there tapping in Cats?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not really Mr. Mistopheles. So, which leads me to believe that tapping's just his favorite and he can actually do basically anything.
Well, that is why I ask.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, this is a guy who's clearly capable of doing tons of styles.
There is a tap routine early in Act One called, it's not called Jenny Any Dots, but it's the Jenny Any Dots song. But it's not him. Mr. Mistopheles is like a lot of big jumps and stuff, big jumps and like leg lifts and cool stuff like that. I think there's some turns, but it's definitely not tap. And what's definitely not tap is Newsies, which is, in my opinion, the best dance musical of its
Newsies
generation.
Newsies has tap though.
Oh, it does have tap, but it's not all tap.
Sure.
So that, like, the people who've gone on to be in Newsies from So You Think You Can Dance are all contemporary dancers. It's, or Broadway dancers. It's Jess, it's Evan, it's Tate, it's Alex. Like, these are people Wait, is that his name?
He was in an early season.
I don't even remember that. I only knew about Alex and Evan.
Oh, no, there were a bunch of them. Jess was in it for years. Yeah, so, and they were all contemporary or Broadway guys. They weren't, I mean, we haven't had tap dancers until the last couple seasons. But there's a lot of jumps and things like that in Newsies. So I think this guy is actually really probably very versatile, even though he auditioned with tap, which is really cool, I think. And Mr. Mistopheles is, yeah, the Rick Ubeda role, which is a really good endorsement.
I can't believe you haven't made a Katie reference yet. Do you remember when Katie and Billy did a dance to Macavity?
I don't. The show?
Yeah, they did. What? It happened.
Billy? Like, she came back as an all-star?
I think so, yeah.
I completely don't remember. Was that the week that Catherine was injured or something?
I do not remember.
They never bring Katie back as an all-star, and it drives me crazy.
It happened, and she and Billy did a dance to Macavity.
That's amazing.
Don't know my water. And it happened. It was weird, I think. I don't really remember how I felt about it. Because it's a strange song to do a dance to.
Yes.
It's like, Macavity is not there.
I definitely did a dance to Macavity when I was, like, 11. But it is, of the Cats songs, it's a strange choice.
Yeah. It should have been, like, the Jellicle one.
That's like the main big dance number. Yeah. I mean, they're all
I don't know
numbers.
A ton about this musical.
It's amazing. There is a really good. So it's like, it's the musical people hate, right?
Right. Yes.
And it's the one time I break my rule about it has to have a good book, which we'll follow up on in a second. Because it doesn't have a good book. It's just a bunch of random things strung together. But it's just
it's based on a poem.
It's right. It's based on a series of poems. And they're all each dance is a different poem, basically. And they have very little to do with each other. And they have very little through line. Like nothing happens in Cats, really.
But they're all T.S. Eliot, right?
They're all. Yeah.
OK.
It's from his one series, The Jellicle Cats.
Got it.
But it's so like. It's so ridiculous, and yet I love it so much, partially because it's so earnestly ridiculous. Like, it has no sense of irony or anything. Like, they're just, they're cats.
And that's it. They're cats.
They're just cats. Like, their makeup and hair, like, the wigs and the leg warmers and, like, everything is just, like, so they're cats. And the set is, like, a giant, like trash heap.
The third longest running Broadway musical, ladies and gentlemen.
So much, and the music is so good. And like, it's just if you like Andrew Lloyd Webber, which you have to.
I do. Yes, I do. Actually,
there is an amazing, and there's also Cats one who, if you catch it when you're really young, you can your love of it. Can just grow and grow and grow because they did an amazing filmed version of it. That's not a film because you can't possibly make a movie of Cats. That's
cool. Sure.
But they filmed the play and then actually released it. So we have like an old VHS copy of Cats with Elaine Page and like it's so good and it's shot so beautifully and it's like an all-star cast sort of thing that you can watch it. It's the closest thing to having like an actual Broadway show in your living room is this version of Cats until
hey, Shrek
they
the Musical is on Netflix.
Is it now?
It is. Yeah. Well, Shrek the Musical and Phantom of the Opera. They're both on Netflix.
Phantom of the Opera is.
It is the stage show. Yeah. Not the movie. Just the stage show is
they've
on Netflix.
They started doing that recently, too, because they did one. I think they have a Legally Blonde one that
yes,
went on MTV.
They did. It was on MTV. I remember having a watch party for it.
And they have, and they
favorite
filmed,
musicals of all time.
They film. Oh, it's pretty good. It's like a really good adaptation.
Yeah.
The Greek Chorus, I think, is the smartest adaptation device anyone's ever made. Then the other one they did, they filmed the final performance of Rent on Broadway.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's obviously that's a tricky one because you want the Broadway show over the movie, but the movie has the original cast. And that was the only cast that ever met Jonathan Larson. So it's tricky.
Yeah, well, the movie's great. I think the movie's great. I've seen the live show and the movie. I think it's great. It's going to be better than when they do Rent live on Fox next year. regardless. What's happening?
Have they cast it yet?
I don't think they've cast it, but I mean, imagine that show without Idina Menzel. I can't.
Oh, see, that's fascinating. Idina Menzel is the one you connect to there.
Yeah. Well, Vanessa Hudgens, here we go. Connecting our whole tangent. She was Mimi in the Hollywood Bowl version.
That makes sense to me. Mimi's a very easy role to cast because it's not a huge, like, it's not that hard vocally.
And she was great because, as we've agreed upon, Vanessa Hudgens is a great singer.
Yeah, she'd be perfectly fine in that part. Depending on the casting, this is the thing, right? Like, the big endorsement for the Rent movie is that they use that cast. And even though they're all way too old for their parts and it doesn't make sense anymore, like, you can't replace Jesse L. Martin. Like, he's just... like that, the reprise of I'll Cover You, performed by anyone other than Jesse L. Martin, breaks my heart. So we'll see. Anyway, we can talk about the Rent movie some other time.
We are so sorry. We have to move on to another musical tangent because, unfortunately, he taps to a song from Sweet Charity. So now Kelly has to talk about that.
That's what I was about to say. You know me so well. If you remember back when I criticized Sweet Charity for having a terrible book, I said it has a couple of songs that are amazing. Not all of them. A lot of them are super stupid, but it has like three or four songs that are just aces. And this one is like either the best or the second best. Like this is a great song. I sing this song all the time. You take it out of its stupid Sweet Charity context. It has some awkward socioeconomic nonsense happening in it. Sure. But it's a delightful song, and there's an excellent recording from when Christina Applegate played this show on.
So we've now had two Sweet Charity performances in the last 2 weeks. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but this was the song I used to sing this for all my musical auditions in high school.
Really?
Did I not bring this up last week when we were talking about Sweet Charity? This is my immediate association with the show. This was the one that I practiced with my voice coach if I had like a different director for like different musicals. So I could repeat auditions. I would sing the song always.
That's so cool.
It has some good belting. It has a lot of character. I was never going to be the ingenue. I was always going to be the character in these musicals ever. I was too loud. They used to have to not mic me in these shows, even if I had solos, because I was.
Yeah, but that's a good quality.
But I was always the character. I was always the funny roles. I could never be the ingenue. So I would sing songs like this where there was more about the belting and the performance quality than like the sweet song. Everyone would sing Take Me or Leave Me. And I would sing this.
Okay, fair enough. Anyone who can pull off Take Me or Leave Me gets the lead role. That's fine.
Can anyone, though, in high school, if six people sing that in a row?
No, there's like, did you go to a performance arts high school?
Not technically, but that's like what my high school is kind of known for.
Okay, because like sometimes I've seen like a couple teenagers from performance arts high schools be able to pull that off. Everyone else, just please stop. Like there was a kid who did like Defying Gravity at our high school auditions, and I was like, why? Why do you think this is a thing that is for you to do?
We had some incredible performance, but they were so into theater that they didn't do things like Wicked and Rent. They did like Funny Girl and musical people musicals, you know.
I only auditioned for one high school musical in my life. It was Footloose. I of course played the mom because
I wanted to be in Footloose, and we never did it because my director was like, everyone does Footloose, we're not doing Footloose.
Really? So to me, everyone does Little Shop of Horrors. I saw like five different high schools do Little Shop of Horrors.
We never did that.
Little Shop of Horrors and Guys and Dolls, which is annoying because there aren't any roles for women, but it's easier to convince the boys to do those two shows because especially Guys and Dolls, because you get to like wear fedoras and stuff.
Guys and Dolls sucks. I'll say it.
Oh my God. It's the only thing my mom really cares about in the whole world. It's like she's not a lady who gets excited about stuff, but the Guys and Dolls overture starts and she's like, it's so funny.
I love Little Shop of Horrors. I don't care for Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, Little Shop of Horrors is great. And anyone who's like from our generation, like a Disney person, has to love Little Shop of Horrors because it's the same composer. I sang for our Footloose audition. I sang on my own, and it was really funny because there's a another girl who was a dancer, not a singer, who auditioned with On My Own, and she forgot the words. And then I was like panicking because I was like, should I change my song? I should probably change my song. I feel like such an evil person going out and like just basically showing off that I remembered the words. And I was like,
God.
But like On My Own was like my song from when I was like four. I don't know. Very frustrating life moments right there. But back to Sweet Charity and Chaz the tap dancer.
Yes, we are still talking about So You Think You Can Dance. I'm sorry if we have lost you.
I know what I was going to say. So I was going to talk about tap dancing on this show, which took a very long time to get started. Like,
yeah, it did.
There was a tap dancer on season two of So You Think You Can Dance Canada. And that was it for like years and years and years and years in North America. Mm-hmm. Was Valerie the first person? Or was it Aaron? Who was first, Valerie or Aaron?
I honestly don't know. And I feel like there must have been people who like were tappers, but didn't like make that their primary thing. And they didn't let them do it on the show. I just don't.
Maybe. Yeah. I wonder if it was like, I'm sure a lot of the contemporary dancers could tap dance because it's one of those things you learn when you're a kid and you're taking sort of just general dance class.
Yeah, maybe. Like even, I feel like the ballet dancers I might associate with tap because I remember doing like tap / ballet when I was like five.
Yeah. But I do think it's one of the ones, and ballet is exactly the same, actually. We didn't have a real ballet dancer until the Keon season, I don't think. We did have, Alex was a ballet dancer.
Yeah. Was that, no, never mind. You're right. Alex was first.
And there was that woman who was not really a very good ballet dancer, but she was technically a ballet dancer. The one who did the woman's work routine. Remember that? Where she was.
You got
like,
me. You finally stumped me.
She had cancer. She was an older woman. She was really boring. I don't remember. But she did that routine. I think it was a Travis routine. No, it was a Brian. Whatever. She did the routine about cancer.
Brian Friedman.
She was a dancer, a ballet dancer. Anyway, but sort of like ballet, I think that the reason they didn't have a lot of tap on the show was because it's not something, at least they
Melissa.
Felt it wasn't something. Melissa, that sounds right.
Yeah, it was a Tice DiOrio piece. I just Googled
Tice
it.
Tice DiOrio, that's who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She was on, but she wasn't very good. She wasn't like a real, mm-hmm. She wasn't like a point person.
Yeah.
We didn't get a point person until the woman whose name I can never remember, who won as well as Keon. It was like a female and male winner that year.
Oh, my God.
her name was like Ileana or something like that.
Maybe.
It might have just been Elena, something easier than Ileana. But anyway, but I think that they think of tap like ballet as something that you can't teach someone in an afternoon. Like you have to for years to be able to do a simple piece, so they never assign it on the show as one of the things. But then once they started having tap dancers in the top 20, we got some unbelievably good routines, and we brought in Anthony Morigerato, who is just the coolest tap choreographer ever. And if you want to go look at an old routine, because that's what I like to do, is recommend old routines, my favorite tap routine ever on the show was Zach Everhart and Aaron Turner, who was an all-star in Piano Man, which was for Zach's finale when he was in the top four. Anthony Morigerato, Piano Man, Zach and Aaron. Look it up. So good.
Good to know. So getting back to the routine, we are so bad at staying on track.
That was relevant.
That was relevant. I'm just... We're learning a lot.
In all fairness, we were 16 minutes into the podcast and 3/4 of the way through the episode, so we had to talk about something.
It's true. He does this routine too. If my friends could see me now from Sweet Charity, which has a bad book but great music, as we have all learned.
It has an offensive book. Like, it's gross.
Yeah. I'm with you. I like it.
Okay, that's fine. You're allowed to.
I never really considered the book. I liked the musical when I saw it when I was younger.
Fair.
But he is great. He's obviously not an amateur at all. He's toured with Broadway companies, but that's fine. We'll let that slide. He does amazing toe stands, and that's important to me. And it's nice when Nigel gets to talk about something that Nigel is actually qualified to talk about.
Do you think that putting a sprig of holly underneath someone's chin to keep their head up is torture?
I mean, okay, what was the thing that they did on Dancing with the Stars where they put like an apple on someone's butt or something?
Who was that? Was that Rashad? It was Julianne. Probably. And I think it was a lemon. And it
a
was
lemon.
Oh,
yeah.
No, it was David Ross, and it's because he kept sticking his butt out.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So they put like a lemon, like I don't even understand how logistically this worked.
That feels less like you're likely to impale yourself, though. Uncomfortable in like a funny way. Putting a sprig of holly underneath someone's chin.
I don't understand how the holly stayed there, first of all.
It makes sense.
I feel like the worst I could do is scratch you. I feel like it's not going to like hurt you. It's not like he's putting like a needle under there. I don't condone it. I don't condone these European dance practices.
Oh, is it Europe? Oh, yeah, he's British. Oh. Doing. No, that's not European anymore, Alita.
Oh, true. Well, I don't know. I feel like sometimes you hear these stories of them being really hard on their artists across the pond. But I don't know. So, yeah, he brings this up because he like didn't keep his chin up enough, which is a valid criticism, except that I just didn't actually even notice it.
It's also like that's what a lot of tap dancers do. A lot of them look at the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is amazing. He gets sent straight through to Vegas to the Academy. I'm never going to get used to that. And I have no qualms with this. I hope he does very well.
Yeah, I think he will do very well. I should have been keeping track of the people I think are going to be in the top 20 because I keep declaring they're in the top 20. And then like it's probably like 25 people already.
Well, we have so few auditions this year.
Yeah.
We've got like one more week.
Well, and it's also like they keep showing us like four auditions an episode.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like everyone that you've claimed to be in the top 20 or whatever it is could very much be so.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, too, if the show is getting a little bit of that, like, oh, that's still on kind of phenomenon. Like,
yeah,
like how maybe they aren't getting that many auditions. So they're just feeling like they don't actually have the amount of footage that they need to, you know. Also, there are definitely interesting people who are good dancers who will make good TV in the top 20, but like wouldn't make a good package. Like, they don't have anything to say. They don't have, like, a sad backstory. Or they don't want to let the camera come to their house and film their parents.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe they just didn't have the footage.
Yeah. So, it is now time to talk about the bigger cheese.
Why do you like the bad auditions? Such a waste of time.
I felt like... Okay, I don't always like the bad auditions. I like the fact that they still have bad auditions. It feels like tradition to me. But this is a foundational part of these shows. Also, I am just happy that they showed this person. They danced to one of my favorite Lady Gaga songs ever. It was like I don't want to say the first. Actually, I'm sure it's not the first drag performance that we've had, because remember when Travis Wall auditioned in drag?
Oh my god, yeah. And that was such a waste of time, because like, why?
It was just a prank.
But
yeah,
I don't know why that happened. Apparently funny that he was dressed as a woman. Ha ha ha.
I guess. Yeah. So there's a lot of that going on here. But so this is Darius the Bigger Cheese Reed. He's 24 from New Jersey. Kat suggests that he goes instead with the Grand Fromage.
And he had no idea. I don't think he even like. About.
Yeah, he just doesn't understand what she's talking about. So we kind of gloss over that. And he is in drag, but the plan, I guess, the whole time was to, you know, take off the wig and the shoes. And then he's just kind of in a leotard and he's dancing to Ayo by Lady Gaga. And I have seen this exact drag performance multiple times on Saturday nights in the gay bar in Pittsburgh that I go to. I am sure.
Okay. Wait, are they purposely bad, though, or do they...
No, this was just, I mean, the point of a drag show is not the dance, right? So this would have been a perfectly fine amateur drag performance anywhere.
Well, and that's because what Nigel says, is that it looks like the lip sync thing in RuPaul, which is totally what it looked like.
Right, because that's literally what it is. It's a drag performance. So when they are talking about, like, it's not really about the dancing, like, that's true. And I don't think that there's any issue with saying that. I wish that they didn't, like, laugh so much. I feel like there are drag performances that are supposed to be comedic. That's a huge part of drag, that you are supposed to laugh at yourself. And all of drag is about mocking identity and gender and all these things. I was hard to gauge, like, what this person's attitude about this was. Like, what was he expecting of this?
Yeah, I don't think he was, like, a serious drag performer. I think he was trying.
No, certainly.
I think he was looking for attention, and he thought how he would get it. Like, I didn't think that this was an attempt to bring drag to the mainstream Fox audience or anything. I think it was just, this will be funny. This will get me on camera if I dress like a woman. Ha ha.
Okay. Sure. I couldn't tell, because he was doing the thing where he was, like, offended by the judges' critiques, but then, like, is that just to be that character on TV, or did he actually think that this was, like, a good display? I don't know. I'm happy they showed this on TV. I like some of the bad auditions. I like seeing drag performance dance to Lady Gaga.
Did you think that who I'm going to call Real Darius was upset that now his name has been dragged through the mud? Because one of the best dancers we've seen so far is named Darius.
Well, I am sure that no one is going to remember the bigger cheese as Darius.
Hopefully not. Because that'd be too bad for Real Darius.
Yeah, so that happened. And we get another mini montage. It's like a contemporary but different montage, where it's like, here's all these people who are contemporary dancers, but there's something special about them, we promise. And those were Logan Hernandez, Abby Griffin, and Christina Moya Palacios. And, like, yeah, it's fine. It all looks like contemporary to me, but they're like, but they brought something special.
Yeah, we have a contemporary breaker in Logan. Abby is, like, a on point contemporary, or, like, I wonder if she, it didn't actually clarify if she was, went in and was like, I'm doing contemporary but I have point shoes, or if she went in and was like, I'm a ballet dancer but I'm gonna do a sort of more contemporary routine on point. Hard to say. They didn't actually show us enough of her to know for sure. And then Christina is, like, a long-limbed technician-y person who if she makes it onto the show, we're going to talk a lot about her extensions, because she's got these insanely long limbs.
Yes. So that was fine. I'm sure that they will all be fine.
Yeah, we'll see if they stand out in the Academy. We'll see more of them. If not, they were just to show that people did bother to audition for this show.
Yep. So next up we have our last audition of the day. We have Ryan Bailey, 23, from Baltimore, and he teaches dance and he owns his own dance company, who he tells to make uncomfortable choices, and I am already in on this.
Yes. Also, his little student person, when asked about his choreography, she says, it's awkward at first, but once you get used to it, it's normal, which I just felt was, like, a perfect encapsulation of every single adult experience in life.
All of my relationships.
Yeah, it's awkward at first, but you get used to it. Yeah, and then it's whatever. Horrible.
Yeah. And another girl was like, his movements are so weird. It's funny.
Okay. Yeah, they were not the most eloquent little girls.
Yeah.
They didn't have. And also, I couldn't tell. I was kind of expecting at least one of them to really love him. Like, to have. You know what I mean? Like, if you are at a studio and you have, like, a very specific teacher who's not like any other of the studios in town, but you continue to go to that one, you would, like, theoretically have, like, no, none of these girls were really passionate about him. It almost felt like he was the only game in town.
I was obsessed with my dance teacher. When I was in fifth grade, she auditioned for season one of So You Think You Can Dance.
Really?
And it was, like, the coolest thing ever. Well, okay, so I'm sure you know this, but in case people listening, so you can't just walk in and audition for Nigel, Mary, and Vanessa. You go through a bunch of rounds of executive producers. So, like, she didn't get to the round where she got to audition for the judges, but it had nothing to do. I don't think it had anything to do with, like, her talent. I think she just, like, didn't have the story or the look or whatever they were looking for. So I'm not ready to evaluate retroactively her dance ability, but I loved her so much. I invited her to my bat mitzvah. Like, yeah, her name was Jillian. I don't know where she is now because I don't know her last name, because when you're like 10, you don't know these things.
That's how I felt about my violin teacher. I love her. I still love her. I don't know her anymore, but we're Facebook friends and I like stalk her from time to time.
Amazing.
Harry. She was like a wunderkind of the violin. She was 17. Oh, she's just the best.
Yes. Shout out to all those performing arts teachers.
Yeah.
Make us who we are and then disappear.
Yeah. We sound like we're giving Tony speeches right now.
Yes, we really do. Thank you to Carnegie Mellon University.
My God, yes.
It's not where I went, but it's like two blocks from where I went to high school.
Oh, and they all went there, really.
I know.
They did. Except now they all went to the University of Michigan.
Oh, wow. It really follows me. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
He does a kind of strange style of dance. And speaking of uncomfortable choices, he does this very strange style to The Time of Your Life.
I loved
which
it.
Which is a very uncomfortable choice, which, I'm into.
I loved it. I thought it was the perfect mashup of like crazy routine with totally cliche song. Like if one of the sort of generic contemporary girls had done this song, it would have been so annoying.
Yeah,
they just like love this song in this movie and but it was a conscious choice. It was so like, it was purposeful juxtaposition, and I just thought it was hilarious.
Yes, 100%. And they kind of teased this the whole episode on like the coming ups or whatever, as like a Let's All Laugh at Him audition, but he has some serious technique.
Oh, I think he's going to do incredibly well. I think he's going to be like a great breakout star of the season.
Yeah, this was delightful.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with how patient he is with his movement. About he would take a lot of time to do a very small thing with his hand or something where like the judges could theoretically cut him off at any time, but he knows that he's engaging enough that he can just stop for a while and do something with just like a single part of his body.
Yeah, it was a very confident routine.
Yes.
And yeah, I was worried the whole time because I was watching him. I was like, this is a really special person who is going to do incredibly well in the show. And I think that he, especially when he gets to the choreographers and like Sonia gets a hold of him, and not to like say the obvious thing, right? But like when Sonia gets hold of him, and if they bring Mark in to do a thing, like I think he's going to be really successful. And I think he's got the technique to back it up. And I think that someone who's drawn to this sort of artistic style is going to stand out, even if they're doing something more commercial, like the show makes them do. That's going to infiltrate his movement style, and he's going to make everything a little more interesting and a little more artistic than it inherently is. But I kept worrying through it. I kept worrying that Nigel was going to cut him off because Nigel can't spot this sort of thing usually. And I was really worried they weren't going to send him through because they just weren't going to be able to see it. But I'm so happy that they did.
Yes. I was very taken with him, and I totally understand where you're coming from with like being nervous. Like I just felt like they were not going to get it or whatever. And Nigel gives, you know, this critique that's like, oh, I liked it because I didn't like it. And that made me feel something. It made me feel emotional. And it reminded me of, listen, we're living in the era of Sasha Velour now. We are in a post Sasha world, and beauty be damned, let monsters reign. And I am happy that they are allowing the weirdness to take over on the show.
Have I told you I watched one episode? I've watched one episode.
I saw your tweet.
In my entire life. I was at the cottage with my friend who does the drag race recaps for my website, and so we had to watch the show, as you do with a recapper. And I've seen literally one episode in my entire life, and I asked him all these questions, follow-up questions and stuff, and I just was 100% convinced that Sasha was like the only person I liked and that she absolutely had to win. And I had all these I was like, loved that she never wore boobs and like all this stuff. I was very adamant. This was the episode where she did the match game.
And match game.
She was the crazy. Who was she? She was the German person.
Yeah, I don't even know who that. I know who you're talking about. I don't even know who that person was.
I know her name, and
she's
just
impersonating.
She's escaping me now. Anyway, oh, Marlene Dietrich. That's who.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yes, I'm very proud of having called that. But yes, she's so cool.
Oh, it's a controversial win on Drag Race.
Well, yeah, but
very controversial.
But oh well. I pick the person who's interesting. Don't pick the person who's executing the same old thing well. Just pick someone new, someone different, and who is bringing expanding the art form.
If you are a Shea Coulee fan, don't get mad at us.
Oh, I don't care. I just don't care.
I am supportive of both Team Sasha and Team Shay.
I'm sure. Yeah, Shay seemed to be very good at sort of conventional expectations of drag. But if you're dealing with an art form, pick someone who's going to expand the art form. And I think including this Ryan guy into the show might actually do that. It might expand something.
Yeah. So yeah. This was, I'm very glad that they sent him straight through. I felt like I said at the beginning, this was a very dynamic episode where there was a lot of different styles happening, a lot of different things going on, and that I felt like they managed well. And yeah, the fact that this Brooklyn hip hop duo went through, that this guy went through, that all these people that we had a tapper, just all these people that are not necessarily what we expect to be the people to go straight through to the Academy. They managed to do it, and the judges were open-minded to that. I felt like this was a very strong episode overall.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. I'm very high on New York's dance abilities. So hopefully next week will be the same thing.
Yeah. So we actually, surprise, we have a week off. I don't know why, but the show is coming back in 2 weeks for the rest of the New York auditions. So programming note on that. So we will also be stepping away for 2 weeks. Absolutely no idea why that's happening. They didn't even tell us on the show. It's just I saw it on their Twitter. Like, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Yeah. So in the meantime,
is that a 4th of July thing? It might be 4th of July.
Oh yes.
No, that might, no, I might be completely wrong.
That is possible. Yesterday, how many days are in June? 30. Yeah,
I'm just gonna check the calendar now.
Fourth of July is on a Tuesday, so I don't know. It's possible though. That's
well,
a good
Kat
call.
Always, Kat famously hosts a barbecue where she invites all the alumni to her Fourth of July party.
I want to go to that.
So right, doesn't that sound like the best barbecue ever?
Yes. What if they just like play like the cha-cha slide or something there, and then everybody just like busts it out? I would love to see a bunch of professional dancers doing like a cheesy line dance.
Well, okay, so that reminds me of like Twitch and Allison's wedding, which BuzzFeed wrote an article was like, this is the most so you think you can dance thing that ever happened.
I haven't seen it.
Well, I don't think there's videos or anything, but in the obviously the article's not very interesting because it's just BuzzFeed recounting who was at
right.
But if you want to read about, so I did an interview with Twitch and Allison a couple years ago, right after they got married, and I asked them about their wedding and like the dance floor and what it was like to basically just have just a pile of professional dancers piled onto a floor for like
yeah.
a DJ, like a sort of standard DJ'd like wedding dance floor. And they talk about that. It's really fun. So that's, you can find that in the sidebar of my website, which is myentertainmentworld.ca. But I also tweeted it somewhere in one of our many So You Think You Can Dance related threads between me and Lita on Twitter. It is tweeted there somewhere.
Yes. So in the meantime, when we have our break that may or may not be for the 4th of July. Also, how did you know that? And I live in this country and that did not occur to me.
I'm just very aware of the dates of the year because my schedule in July is so insane.
Cognizant of
US holidays. Tuesday, so unless they're taking the day before 4th of July off for, I guess, so they can have a long weekend. I don't know. It is 4th of July, though.
Yeah. All right. Noted. Did not cross my mind at all. So in the meantime, do you have anything that you want to promote, throw out there to keep us tied over for the next 2 weeks, Kelly?
My Magic Men Live, our article is going live this week.
Thank God.
So, I just think it's so funny. yeah, that's sort of all that I have reality TV wise coming soon. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at myentworld, always tweeting routines and things at Lita. Oh, somebody this week tweeted at us that she's watching season 4 for the first time ever because she needed to know who Katie was because it won't shut up about Katie. And she also wanted to watch Twitch's first season. So I'm very excited about that. So
we are making true differences in the world. And
yeah, it's
lives.
Really it's really important stuff. This was who was it that said this? Megan. It was Megan at Darling Megan 11. So everyone should do that. Everyone go back and watch old routines. Tweet your favorites at us. If you don't want to watch the whole season of 4, that's fine. But seasons 2 through 5 are, I think, the golden age. So definitely go back and watch old seasons. Tweet them at us. We interact all the time. I am all up in the comments section on robinsapodcast.com. So, yeah, and find me on Twitter at myentworld, myentworld, and Instagram, too, but I don't really use it as much.
Yes, and you can find me on Twitter at LitaTweeted. I did just add a few routines to my So You Think You Can Dance thread last night, including Bleeding Love. exclusively for Kelly's sake. I literally wrote this routine has no significance to me, but in honor of Kelly, I'm adding it.
I don't even like it that much. It's just an important routine. Like Nowhere is so much better, but it's just it's an important one in the evolution of the series, guys. Come on.
Yes. but I added a couple of my actual favorite routines, including the hummingbird routine with Jamie and Hawk. The Comfort and Jasmine Beyonce routine. So just go and watch them. They're all short. You deserve it. Treat yourself like how I'm going to treat myself at some point this week and watch Center Stage so that I can report back about it. It'll happen, I promise. So follow me. Follow me at LitaTweeted. Follow me on Instagram at LitaGrammed. I once in a while post like dance pictures of myself, which is relevant.
She's always doing this crazy like leg thing where she holds her foot above her head, and it's so amazing. Guys, if you are questioning that Lita's a badass dance lady, go to her Instagram. She's got these insane photos of her just like doing arabesques and weird bendy things everywhere, like outside and by. Is there one by a waterfall?
Yeah. Well, that's technically a yoga pose. I don't know if we can count that as dance.
Whatever.
It is dancer's pose, but it's what it's called. But yeah, I don't know. Instagram is where I go to be like, hey, can I still do this dance thing that I used to be able to do? And then I try it and I'm like, yeah, but now my back really hurts. Because that's what getting older is. So that's where I post my like dance and yoga photos and stuff. So follow me there. And American Ninja Warrior is happening. It's real. We are kind of back on track because we are over our Vegas metaphorical hangover. So the most recent episode of that just dropped today. Celebrity special with Rob Sesternino is coming. It's like done. We just didn't want to bombard you guys with podcasts, so it'll happen later this week. Team Ninja Warrior, we will happen sometime. We'll get to it. We're very behind. But yeah, so look out for that. To make sure that you don't miss any of this podcast or that podcast or The Bachelor or The Challenge or whatever you are into with all the amazing hosts, subscribe to the Wrap Ups feed on iTunes. You just get all of it there. You won't miss anything. And yes, comment on our stuff. Interact with us. We love it. This podcast is important to us and all of our listeners are important to us.
Yeah. I'm so excited that Megan's watching season 4.
See how much it means to us when we get people to watch these things.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so please do. And this has been super fun and we will see you again back in New York in 2 weeks.
Bye guys.
So you think you can